Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
If you want to know how exciting Week Zero is, the 7 p.m. Eastern Time ESPN national game is UMass at New Mexico State.
Russ Dellinger.
I hope the NCAA puts out a statement. Not a spy blimp.
And SI's Pat Forty.
There should just be a white bun, a burger, ketchup and mustard, and a pickle.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. We're going to get a little into the latest in the ACC conference realignment and all of that, amongst some other things. But the free Jim Harbaugh campaign has apparently worked, at least temporarily. Was there a free Jim Harbaugh campaign? I think there might have been. I will try to explain this story best I can. It's a little confusing. I'm confused. And so I think everyone probably is confused. The NCAA seems confused. Michigan seems confused. Everyone's confused. So the genesis of the story is, and either of you two correct me where I'm wrong, Jim Harbaugh and staff committed various level two violations over a course of a period of time. They included some recruits, maybe more than one recruit, maybe only one recruit, I don't know, came in during a COVID dead period, not allowed to meet with recruits. Harbaugh or his staff went down to a restaurant, famously had a hamburger or bought a hamburger. The NCAA's already upped it to cheeseburger. I don't know where the cheese came from. I'd never heard that. So maybe the original reporting was wrong. That's like 45 cents extra, Pat, for the cheeseburger.
In these these times, might be 60 cents extra.
Yeah. I mean, the cheese, you get the cheese is a hamburger level two and cheeseburger level one. I don't know. What if you get like a fried egg on that bad boy? Onion straw. I mean, it's really what they make a hell of a burger these days. Like, it's burgers come a long way, you know, through the years. Anyway, there's that violation, which is definitely a violation. There is supposedly watching players work out on a Zoom, not allowed to do that, like some kind of captain's practice, or I'm not sure. There is also having, you know, they have these massive staffs full of analysts and extra hanger-ons. Some analysts apparently got out on the actual practice field and coached some football. So I think those are the penalties. Now, those are all real penalties, and none of them have to do with amateurism, which is what everyone bashes the NCAA for. This is straight how you run a sport. Like, in the NFL, you can start talking to free agents on, I think, March 1. If you found out Bill Belichick was having lunch, hamburger or cheeseburger, with, you know, a free agent a week before, he would be disciplined.
Yes.
If there were if the Patriots were filming extra practices, they would be, right? I don't know why I bring the Patriots up, just coincidental. So these are real violations, but they're not, you know, what the fans get excited about. Like, you know, they dropped a Lamborghini off at the five-star recruit's house, and then he flipped for his commitment. NCAA comes in and investigates, though. They've got these violations, and apparently, the NCAA goes to Harbaugh, and he is what the NCAA seems to believe was less than forthcoming. It's a nice way of saying he lied. Sounds like an excuse children come up with. It was less than forthcoming with my whereabouts last night after curfew. So the NCAA gets up in its feelings on this. They don't like the old less than forthcoming, not a favored term of the NCAA. So they hit him with a level one. You lied. And this is a big thing for the NCAA. So that kind of breaks down all last December, January, something. They're trying to hash this thing out. Harbaugh and the NCAA and Michigan go to what they call a negotiated resolution, the NR. They have to have an acronym. It's like the damn military.
They are more the acronym capital of America.
The NR. They come to an NR. This is the enforcement staff. This is generally how this works. The enforcement staff and Michigan slash Harbaugh. So this would be like if the prosecutor says Ross robbed a bank and we're going to give him 10 years in prison. I don't know why I'm bringing up Ross. And Ross and his attorney say, all right, we did it. All right, how about we skip trial? Let's do 6 years, right? Pretty simple. Everyone knows. Plea out, get a little bit less. Mm-hmm. So they're ready to plea out for 4 games instead of what could be 6 or more. Okay, so that's going to be the agreement. And the NCAA, but when you have that agreement, the negotiated resolution, it still must be approved by another part of the NCAA, which the committee, a panel of the Committee on Infractions, is how I believe it is.
COI, that's your next acronym.
Next one's the COI. So yep. One part of the NCAA says, yeah, you're cool. But another part's got to say, okay, we looked through this, and yes. And the same way, if you pled down on robbing a bank, you get you have to go to a judge. The judge says, I accept the plea deal, 6 years. We hope you rehabilitate. So they get to the COI or the COI panel or whatever this is, and they say, no, we're not accepting it. And so they can either come up with a new deal, which would cause a suspension, but unless they can do it very, very quickly, and I do not anticipate this happening at all, especially after what comes next, and say, all right, we'll take 5 games, and maybe the panel will take it, but they're not going to, once the season starts, they ain't making any deals, because it's not going to sit for, they'll might sit for the beginning games, but ain't going to sit for the end ones. Or the NCAA then has to send a notice of allegations and officially charge or indict, if you will. Again, I pause and hate to add any kind of like gravitas to this thing, but this this is how the NCAA sees it. Like, this is a deathly serious system of justice that they have that generally punishes nobody. But
notice of allegations, NOA. Next
day. NOA. What is an NOI? That's something else, isn't it?
There's a preliminary notice letter of inquiry. Investigation? That's, you know, there's a notice of inquiry. There's a preliminary letter.
Notice of inquiry. That's the NOI. That's it. This is the NOA, Pat. Get your crap together, would you?
I said NOA.
I thought you said NOI. I thought you said NOI. All right. Maybe it's me. Okay. NOA. So they have to put out the official NOA and charge, and then Michigan will have 90 days to respond or something like that. Then they'll have this is not getting adjudicated until 2020. There's no way they're getting this. They're not getting a hearing, let alone a punishment. Things are going to drag out now. So the negotiator, the only other thing that could happen is Michigan could self-impose a suspension on Jim Harbaugh to try to avoid future, maybe, you know, curry some favor with the NCAA. I would think that would cause a fan revolt. They might tear down those fancy new scoreboards that they just put up in Michigan State. I don't think they're going to do that. Anyway, so that is where we're at. And that's what happened over the weekend. The negotiation fell down or some point late last week. I'll get to the statement. But so far, where am I, Pat? How am I doing, Pat?
Yes. No, I think you've laid it out so far. Like that. And the Committee on Infractions does have latitude to say, yes, we go along with the negotiated resolution. No, we don't. A lot of the time, most of the time, I think they do go along. But there is some friction and some tension between NCAA enforcement and Committee on Infractions on some cases, including the Miami one that got negotiated resolution with the Cavender twins and John Ruiz. And like the Committee on Infractions people went along with it, but they wanted to give a bigger penalty to John Ruiz than was in the negotiated resolution. Like, they were, neither side was happy with each other there. So while they're all under the NCAA umbrella, they don't all do the same stuff and they don't always agree.
So it, like, if there's like a coffee break, do those one side stand at one, like, do they glare across the room at each other?
Yeah, glare across the room, yes.
Yeah.
Throw sugar Ross, packets at each other.
Ross, what do you get right now?
The Miami case is, one that really, I think, put the spotlight on the disagreements going on between the NCAA enforcement and the Committee on Infractions. And, Pat, I know you've done a lot of work with the Committee on Infractions and all this stuff. Like, it's probably important to note for listeners who don't understand, the enforcement staff is actually based in Indianapolis. They are NCAA employees, right, of the organization there. The Committee on Infractions are made up of school officials, correct?
Yeah, school officials or people outside of college sports, actually. You know, some like, you know, retired judges and things like that. So, yeah, you get, you know, ADs, commissioners, former school presidents, et cetera.
So it's kind of fascinating that the actual NCAA employees, the NCAA police, so to speak, came to this agreement with Harbaugh. And then the school officials, so, you know, Michigan's fellow school presidents and athletic directors and whoever else sits on that committee on infractions actually said, you know what? No, we believe, I would assume that they believe that the penalties were too light. I guess they didn't really reveal that, but it's just the assumption I'm making.
Makes sense, right? So you can get suspended up to 6 games or more, I think.
Yeah.
For lying. How less than forthcoming are we here? Was it a cheeseburger and you said it was a hamburger? Like, where does that electric chair? What are we doing? I don't know.
I think it goes beyond. I think it was a little more than that.
It was a little more than that. Let's be very clear.
With these all recruits.
Of this, let's be clear here. All of this is Harbaugh's fault. Like, right. If presumingly that he was ready to plead guilty, if you will, then, you know, there's something there. And so these are all violations and he could have just admitted it originally. Maybe he doesn't remember. Maybe he's just Jim Harbaugh. And if you asked him right now, if you know, hey, Jim, are you playing Ohio State at the end of the season? He wouldn't know. Or he'd grunt out some answer about competition. Men battling men. I don't know. Stare off into space for like 45 seconds and then come back with another. So maybe he's innocent and this is just Jim Harbaugh getting caught being Jim Harbaugh. I don't know. We'll see. But these are real violations. It's not a nothing case. And he did do it. He apparently did do it. So, you know, this is all horrible. But yeah, I don't think anybody outside of the NCAA wants to hear about friction between two of their little departments. Like, get over yourself. Okay. This is not what this is about. If you go to a court, you don't want to get, you know, the electric chair because the judge is mad at the bailiff and he's in a bad mood, right? Get your office politics out of here. We expect a fair trial. So,
no, I mean, I don't know whether it's office politics per se. It's just that these people
don't agree.
Yeah, I think they've looked at this case and for whatever reason, they don't think the punishment fits the crime. Lesser or greater, but to Ross, as Ross alluded to, almost assuredly they would think greater. I would be surprised if they came back and said, "Nah, this is too harsh for Jim Harbaugh."
Maybe this gets Harbaugh off completely. What if he leaves next year for the NFL?
We'll get to that. Yeah, this very well could. The timing could really work, and I think this next part plays a role. Ross, I know you asked the NCAA for a statement on Saturday, and you sent it to me. And it said, this came now, NCAA statements, they don't state much generally, not a lot of state in the ment. And, they like, you know, Michigan's statement was, we are unable to comment at this time on this still ongoing case. And, Harbaugh's attorney said, we are not allowed to comment on possible penalties or other aspects of the matter. And he expected the same thing from the NCAA. Instead, NCAA Vice President Derek Crawford comes in from the top rope and issues this doozy, which is really the first sentence is all you need. There's numerous sentences, but the main one is the Michigan infractions case is related to impermissible on and off campus recruiting during the COVID-19 dead period and impermissible coaching activities, not a cheeseburger. Now, you don't know how much joy that statement gave me. Ross, when you read that statement, your initial thoughts?
Oh, shit. But I actually read it like three times. Then I checked because it was a text message from an NCAA official, and I checked to make sure it was from, like, three times I checked to make sure it was the person that I thought it was from. I read the statement again, then I checked again, then I read the statement again, and then I texted the person and made a mention of the cheeseburger, and they responded like, you know, okay, it's good, this is real. And then I sent it to Dan. And I was like, okay. And then Dan wrote back, I can't believe they mentioned the cheeseburger. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's freaking crazy. It's crazy.
Numerous problems in this. And again, the NCAA has policies and they have procedures and they have rules and they have regulations. And this is what they're all about. So roll your eyes at it all you want. This is the stuff they care about because whatever. Technically, there is no infractions case because they haven't delivered the NOA. So, and until, according to rules, I don't know, they got a couple of them here, 5.16.1 and rule 19.3.1, you're not allowed to discuss anything about these things until at least an NOA is put out. And then you're not supposed to talk about, you're supposed to no comment. Derek Crawford lists off the allegations, which have never been made public other than like in reporting. Sources say, right, it's related to impermissible on and off campus recruiting during the COVID and impermissible coaching activities. Seems to me to be a major violation of their own policies. The policy police are violating their own policies. He also doesn't say it's alleged, just sits there and says that's what happened. Believe me, a spirited reaction from Harbaugh's attorney, Tom Mars, on this. So there's problem one. One, you shouldn't be commenting. Two, you're laying it out. Just so it's clear, when they have a negotiated resolution, the enforcement staff and the defendants, Harbaugh, Michigan, talk over the facts of the case, and they come up to an agreement, and then they bring it to the Committee on Infraction panel, and they can say yes or no. The full Committee on Infraction does not know the facts of the case because they're supposed to be a jury. So later, when there's the actual trial, that jury is not tainted with all the facts that they've already heard. So for the NCAA to put out some of the facts, apparently, and appreciate them confirming or reporting, is wrong. But the not a cheeseburger line is amazing because Michigan fan has grasped onto a battle cry that it's just a hamburger. Jim Harbaugh bought a recruit a hamburger. That's the narrative they have gone with. Now, again, I don't know where it became a cheeseburger, but it did. It's actually a cheeseburger. Jim Harbaugh bought a recruit a hamburger, and that's they want to suspend him for four games when, you know, pick your thing. North Carolina, no classes. This car here, all the cheating, right? You guys can't catch anyone, and you're all fired up over this. And that has been their battle cry. Not, it's just a hamburger, just a hamburger, just a hamburger. Jim Harbaugh has never said it's just a hamburger. The University of Michigan has never said it's just a hamburger. None of their attorneys have ever said it's just a hamburger. Nobody official, Ward Manuel, the AD, has never said it's just a hamburger. The fans say it. So we now have in an official statement they never should have made, the NCAA is responding to message board posters and internet trolls. Like Wolverine 89. Is basically getting argued with by the NCAA vice president. You can't bring up that it's not a cheeseburger when no one in any official capacity has based their defense on the idea that it's just a cheeseburger. Nor can you bring up that argument and argue it in a statement when you're not supposed to be bringing up anything. They're arguing with the fans at this point, and that to me suggests they're so upset at getting dragged for their failures that if I'm Harbaugh, I'm like, you guys are so in your feelings here, you're coming after me way harder than you should. I would be very suspicious of this system when you're breaking the policies and grandstanding, not to anything I said, but stuff the fans said. What do you think, Pat?
Start with this. Those are three words the NCAA should regret. Not a cheeseburger. That shouldn't have been in there. That's editorializing, and yes, that's clapping back at a criticism that's out there. Now, putting out the statement They are allowed to clarify procedures and correct records in investigations. They don't do it often, but they are allowed to do that. The editorializing in the statement is the problem. But let's back up here. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Every single incremental story that has come out during this investigation, and there have been an unusual number of stories that have come out during an ongoing investigation, I'm going to bet was probably originated from someone connected to the University of Michigan who's not supposed to be talking about the case. I'm going to bet someone, whether it is administrator, coach, trustee, attorney for some one of those people, might have perhaps been supplying evidence. How would the Michigan message, how would Wolverine 89 even know this case was about a hamburger unless somebody from the University of Michigan told people what the case was about?
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Hamburger, cheeseburger, whatever. So if I were Michigan, I would maybe holster my outrage over the NCAA commenting here when I think people at Michigan have probably been doing a fair amount of commenting behind the scenes here. That's what I would say to that. But again, very bad decision by Derek Crawford to editorialize in that statement.
What's really interesting is that those three words, not a cheeseburger, was clearly aimed at the social media, internet troll, message boarders, you know, just the narrative around the case that's existed on social and on message boards. So it was obviously aimed at them. And really all it did was fire them all up, right? Because so it, like my, just from social media, just looking at all the responses, right? It's a lot of NCAA says, not a cheeseburger. Reality, it's a cheeseburger. It must be a cheeseburger. If the NCAA said it's not a cheeseburger, it must be. So now everybody really thinks it is a cheeseburger because the NCAA said it wasn't a cheeseburger. It's really amazing. Yeah, I was like we talked about earlier, I was shocked that that was in there. And it does speak to the fact that the NCAA is aware, whether it's a good thing or not, I guess, they are very much aware of the narratives around their cases and their investigations and all that stuff. It's an interesting time, and it's a time where or it proves kind of a fact that narratives and social media and, you know, message boards and stuff can actually impact organizations like the NCAA in a statement. Like they had an impact on that statement. And but Pat obviously brings up a great point, right? Like, although I think there have been cases in the past where the leakage maybe came from Indianapolis, there's a lot of more so these cases are leaks from the school involved or the attorneys involved or the other part of coaches involved at the school. And Dan can probably speak more to this, but the leaks of these investigations like this are becoming more and more prominent in are becoming in the NCAA's eyes more and more serious and troublesome. And they, like, I remember, I think it was the Tennessee case where there were some leaks around the Pruitt stuff, the Jeremy Pruitt stuff. And I had heard that the NCAA had kind of warned Tennessee about any leaks and that if there were leaks, that it could actually, you know, come back and impact a decision or something with them. So it's all very interesting.
I mean, leaks and NCAA investigated cases is not a new phenomenon. And always felt like a two-way street on that one. A lot of leaks in all directions can happen in these stories. I do believe the hamburger part, which seems to have particularly chapped them, came from the On3 site of Michigan originally. I may be wrong. And it stated that they had been at the Brown Jug in Ann Arbor, which coincidentally has a Jack Harbaugh famous Brown Jug burger. Not a Jim Harbaugh burger, a Jack Harbaugh's dad. There's also a Bo Schembechler burger. There's a number. Lloyd Carr barbecue bacon melt burger. I don't know which burger he got. Could have got the Charles Woodson patty melt. Michael Phelps vegan Beyond Burger. There's a lot of good burgers down there. Harbaugh has his own item, a 10-ounce sirloin steak with garlic, mashed potatoes, and steamed broccoli. The Jim Harbaugh 10-ounce sirloin steak. So there's a lot of, you know, this is a kind of a famous place in Ann Arbor. So I don't know. Maybe they're mad about that.
Did it say in the story it was a burger? They were eating a burger at the Brown Jug?
I think so. I didn't. Yeah. In my research of trying to get this right. So my apologies. I don't know. It definitely emerged that way. Here's the thing. We're talking about leaks about a hamburger. It's not a cheeseburger. If they're that mad about leaks about a cheeseburger or a hamburger, we'll have to figure out if the Jack Harbaugh burger has cheese on it. That's really the question. That will determine everything. Like, we're so far away from anything that matters at that point. Like, it's just process crime on process crime. And, cast the first stone in the leakage game would be my thing. I don't know. But it seems to me that instead of like a cool, calm, rational system of justice, we've got emotions involved here. A deal was reached and then it was blown up. And then you get the statement. It's just a very unusual case, which is why we're spending time on it. And I don't know, Pat, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's not very often that you get to this stage and all of a sudden the Committee on Infractions will say, wait, no, never mind. We don't like the negotiated resolution. And, you know, I guess technically there has not been a notice of allegations filed, as you noted. But everybody knows what the allegations are. Nobody would have agreed to a resolution without knowing what you're charged with. So, I mean, I think that's all had to have been put on the table.
You're taking a 4-game suspension, a 1/3 of a season. Let's take your theory as part of the motivation, and I think that might be correct. You taking the number 2 team in the country, one of the 3 or 4 most high profile coaches in the game. You have him agree to suspend himself for 1/3 of the season, and it gets blown up at least in part because you're mad that a fan site somehow found out about a burger was involved and went with it?
Well, no, I don't know whether that's the case.
They seem to be mentioned the cheeseburger.
They did mention it, but I don't know whether that's why they have gone to, they want to go to a full hearing. I don't know whether that has anything to do with it.
Because, I mean, but, like, we're just way beyond what was just.
Yeah, again, like 3 words that will live in infamy for the NCAA.
Not a cheeseburger. Yeah. All right. So. Harbaugh probably going to coach the whole season. And we know what happens in early January. They start firing NFL coaches. Does he just skip town and avoid all of this after what, who knows how successful of a season this will be?
Yeah, the Pete Carroll shuffle, the Chip Kelly shuffle to the NFL. It's entirely possible. I mean, certainly he obviously has interest in going to the NFL. He's talked to him 2 years in a row, if not longer. A lot of people thinking, heck, he's basically said, this is my best team. Doesn't mean he couldn't maybe have a better team the year after, who knows? I mean, he's got it rolling in a very good way. But if you don't, if you're facing a potentially, you know, a hearing that could lead to even more than a 4-game suspension, which he clearly wasn't very happy about a 4-game suspension, then, yeah, do you want a little more motivation to go try the NFL? Here it is.
It was originally, I think the original story, by the way. Okay. And it was on 30 back in the first week of January. It did report that it was buying a recruit. It said, you know, it was in the morning. So it was morning burgers is how it was put, which is odd. It would have been great if the NCAA had put not a morning burger. Alas, no.
Wait, so they went for breakfast and Harbaugh bought them burgers? Is that the story? I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
He was having steak and milk.
Yeah, that makes no sense, and then all the sense because Harbaugh absolutely like it's like eggs, oatmeal, fruit plate, burger.
There you go, burger. Yeah. But anyway, so plenty of coaches in the past have left their school and left for the NFL in the face of NCAA penalties. So this wouldn't be the first time.
really dumb. The whole thing could have been handled by Harbaugh by A, not meeting with recruits during a dead period, if this is the facts. I mean, this is not, it's not like a gray area. You're like, I can't meet with you this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it is an advantage. Okay. It is an advantage. And B, just copping to it. If he did indeed have that savory breakfast burger down the brown jug.
Savory.
we got to know. I want Chris Ballas of On Three to find out which of the burgers on this menu it was. Was it the Jack Harbaugh famous brown jug burger, which does not list what it is? Was it the Michael Phelps vegan Beyond Burger? No shot, right? There's no way.
No.
Absolutely no. Zero shot.
No.
Was it
if
the
you're
Charles,
going for a breakfast burger, it's not a Beyond Burger.
It's not a vegan. I mean, Harbaugh would have a faint, even the concept. I'm sure he loves Michael Phelps, but he can, that's just two people who do not see eye to eye. Could have been the Anthony Carter mushroom Swiss burger. How about the Brian Greasy O-line double burger?
Mm. What?
Two half-pound patties topped with crisp smoked bacon and Swiss.
See, was it a lineman that was with him, or was it a...
Who was he recruiting? We need more.
Yeah.
We need more from you. Taylor Lewan Southwestern burger topped with jalapenos and pepper jack cheese. Throwing some jalapenos on a burger for breakfast?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
Yeah. Bo Schembechler is the Bo Schembechler burger served on grilled sourdough, rye bread, grilled onions, and boorish cheese. Is that Orson cheese? That sounds way too fancy for Schembechler.
Yeah. Schembechler should just be a white bun, a burger, ketchup and mustard, and a pickle.
The
two
burger
pickles,
pod.
Double tight ends.
Here we are.
If you're gonna eat a burger in the North Atlantic, you're gonna eat a burger.
Maybe a morning burger is just crack an egg on it. You know, maybe there's just an egg on all the burgers. There, not, you just crack an egg listed. On anything, it all of a sudden becomes breakfast.
I am sure that Jim Harbaugh can order off the menu, but that is not listed. There's no egg burger on here. So many questions. So many. I cannot wait for the NOIA to clear all this up. Glad we did not get this resolved. Anyway, this is enough about this. Harbaugh's coaching. Michigan is trying to win the title. He very well may be munching on a hamburger in the third quarter against East Carolina in like 3 weeks. You watch. Fans are going to throw hamburgers.
Oh, it's going to be a thing.
Be burger, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're going to be hucking.
Yeah.
Hamburger signs. Kids dressed as hamburgers in the stands. Oh, burger, the taunting signs at the tailgates. I mean, it is not a cheeseburger. It's going down. The all-time battle cries. All right. I think we, I don't have any more thoughts. Anyone else have a thought? Okay. Other big news. The ACC's efforts to land Cal and Stanford and potentially SMU, but Cal and Stanford have hit a snag. Ross, update us on this one.
Well, let's see. The president, ACC presidents met Monday, and then they met for basically took a straw poll on Wednesday night on these expansion additions. And it was, they didn't have the votes. You know, they needed 12 of the 15 on Wednesday night in that kind of straw poll, because it wasn't an official vote, because they don't take official votes at most conferences. Most, you know, groups don't take official votes unless they know that the vote is going to pass. And then it becomes a unanimous vote. That's usually how that works. So they didn't have the vote, so they took a straw poll, and they were short. They were short by, at least, as Pat can tell us, at least one vote. You know, Florida State in Clemson, in North Carolina, in NC State were opposed and seemed to be pretty firmly opposed. And I think there probably were one or two that were on the fence, so to speak, and maybe still are. I don't believe it's Monday morning, and I don't believe that they've met again. The presidents have met again. I'm sure there's been discussions, but I don't know. There's been a group meeting, and certainly not any kind of vote taking again. But the question is, you know, how long does specifically Stanford wait in how much they keep pushing to try to sway the votes. And from what I understand, they have called the big guns of Stanford to try to lure and try to get encourage these schools that voted against to vote for. And they've done some of the same things with the Big Ten too. It's kind of a sad situation, right? Stanford, arguably the best athletic department in the country, has more national championships, team national titles than anybody. Won the Director's Cup 26 of 29 years for the best athletic department success. And they don't have a home, and they're calling and begging the Big Ten and the ACC to take them. It's quite a situation that we're in.
So what are the four schools that don't want it?
Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, North Carolina State. Okay. Those are the four that have stood up right now.
I have one more before I get to that. What constitutes the big guns of Stanford?
Well, you think about the one name that comes to mind, right? I think, I believe she was Pat Secretary 40? Of State.
Oh, Condi. Okay. Condi.
I believe she was Secretary of State.
Okay. Condi Rice.
So, so I think that's been somebody that people have heard from, or she is somebody that people have heard from. And, you know, there's another part of this, too. It's taking a reduced share, both with the Big Ten and the ACC. I think Stanford has come forward with a plan that they will take a significantly reduced share, certainly for the Big Ten, but the ACC as well. You know, and what's a reduced share? I mean, the share in the ACC, the TV share in the ACC is around, low to mid-30s, I think, just the TV portion. And it was made clear to me that Stanford and Cal were going to take around 20 or low 20 millions, you know, like 60-70% of a share. With the Big Ten, maybe Stanford is it sounds like Stanford's being a little even more aggressive in a way in wanting to take a significantly reduced share to be able to join that league. So they're in a pickle.
Yeah, they're in a pickle. Pushing hard, but where are you pushing? I mean, who are you pushing against? A brick wall, or are you pushing against something you can move? Condi Rice, Jerry Yang, whose name should resonate in the halls of Yahoo.
He is our hero.
That's right.
Founder of Yahoo. Great man.
Founder of Yahoo. Also, I think, pitching in to help. And one of the reasons Stanford needs some of these people to step in is because Mark Tessier-Levine, the president of the school, got forced out. Resignation for, fabricating scientific data from experiments he had done or findings. So they have a bit of a power vacuum at the top that they're trying to fill with people who are pretty important people. So yeah, but that's the thing. And as Ross said or alluded to, we are cut down to cutting time here as far as trying to get things in line for 2024. There is not a lot of time to waste. So this week, I would expect Stanford to have to make a declaration, perhaps, of some kind. We know August 15th is looming, and that's an important date in the ACC. If you are going to leave the conference, according to their bylaws, you have to notify the league by August 15th, and we have certainly heard a lot of dissatisfaction from Florida State. There's probably quieter dissatisfaction from Clemson. Does it mean they're leaving? I don't know. Where are they going to go? How expensive would it be? How bloody? Who knows? But it would be pretty wild if Florida State's trying to get out of the league, but in the meantime, keeping Stanford and Cal from getting into the league.
It sounds familiar, right? Remember the when the Oklahoma and Texas left the Big 12, and the Big 12 seemed like it was in a dire position of collapsing. And those schools were kind of out there for the Pac-12 to take and expand and add. None other than the USC president was one of the ones who was pretty outspoken and privately in those meetings about not expanding and not taking those Big 12 teams. Of course, then a year later, her school decided to leave for the Big 10. So, interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on in the ACC. It has been fascinating to watch. I don't think any league in the country is more divided when it comes to how they view the world, how they view college athletics, how they view the mission of college athletics. You have 4 to 5, maybe you could stretch it to 6, schools that historically, you know, think about things differently, invest differently in football and in basketball. And you have another six or seven that, you know, some of them are small and private schools. And it's just, it's fascinating to watch. And Pat mentioned that deadline, you know, for August 15th. And that's if you want to, you know, get out of the league and start somewhere new, I believe next year, right? You have to meet that August, or maybe by 2025, is it, Pat? I'm trying to remember now.
I think it's for next year, for 2024. Okay. Let me look that up while we're going.
I think you have to give a year notice of departure. But I don't remember how it works. It's hard to believe. It's hard to think that Florida State will make that decision, you know, this fall or this week. They have sure hinted, right, that eventually they'll make that decision.
I want to know what the lobby, like, does it just calling them up? Is it like we said, the Stanford way, with daddy will buy a building on your campus? What do we got to do here, Clemson? Side door. Can we get in through the crew team? Oh, you don't have a crew team? We'll build a lake and you'll have one.
They got a nice lake there, Lake Calhoun or something.
Both Condoleezza Rice and Jerry Yang, members of Augusta National, they could be like, look, mm-hmm. you say yes, well, us two, you can come and we'll get Tiger and we'll have a foursome at Augusta. Like, what would you let Stanford in if you could play Augusta National with Tiger Woods?
There you go. That'd be a good pull.
I think I would. But that's me. I don't know who these making these decisions. I think there's a lot of options here. I don't know what's going on. Not looking good. I also heard SMU has boosters that'll just pay all, like they're going to give $200 million to just cover all of the media, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's another whole thing, right?
Supposedly.
Yeah. Well, SMU, their deal or offer to the ACC was to come in without getting a share for 5 to 7 years, their first 5 to 7 years. And if you think about how much that is, you know, say the ACC TV deal, I think it's more than this, but say it's $30 million a year per school. Then you think about how much that is, right? It's about $170 to $200 million.
That would be what
needs to be pumped into SMU to, you would think, you know, be competitive with the other league. So that was the thought, is that they've raised that amount of money in order to offer that to the ACC. And they offered it, by the way, to others, too. They talked to the Pac-12 about going 3 to 5 years, I think, without taking a share. They talked to the Big 12 about it as well. They are hungry to be in a power league, that's for sure.
Yeah, we got SMU boosters just basically, hey, can we buy our way in, period? We've got six rich guys, and all we want to do is buy our way into the club.
It's the college admission way. ACC says, no, we don't want you, SMU, even with all your money. Why don't they just take that money and literally put out a statement that it's not a cheeseburger? It's, we're going to spend $30 million a year on our roster the next 5 years. We're going to spend these six guys. We'll pay the football team $30 million.
Yeah.
And see how many recruits just say, yeah, I'm good with the AAC.
It'd be an interesting play. They'll let you in
7 years if you're winning all the games. If all of a sudden you show up in like 3 years in the playoff with like just an absolute loaded NFL team because you're paying everyone like, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe that's still not enough, but put your $200 million into a 3-year revamp or something. I don't know.
Well, money SMU. Whipping the recruits worked once down there at SMU.
The Mustangs are bucking, man. They're bucking. They're going to try anything at this point. I'm very intrigued. These guys got money piled up in Dallas. They're just sitting there with a pile of money going, somebody take us. I'm giving it to somebody. I would start messing with their recruits. That's what I would start doing.
Hey, Dan, you... You mentioned the, you know, using Augusta National as a chip there. I have a golf update for us from a story we discussed.
Oh, really?
Yes. From the great, our podcast hero, the Steve Holwerda, the Oregon trustee who phoned in to decide the fate of college athletics while playing a round of golf.
zoomed in, zoomed so zoomed we could in. See him hit sand shots and stuff. Yeah, my hero.
Crawling my hero. Bunker.
Zoomed in. Well, a little more probable information on that round. You had his score and everything like that, but
An 81 according to his score that he registered.
Yeah. Well, this potentially gets even better. Steve Holwerda's father-in-law is Rich Brooks, the former Kentucky and Oregon football coach. And according to Rich Brooks's Twitter timeline, which is the greatest thing on earth.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing. Like, Rich Brooks is just, he tweets all these mundane things of like a retired guy, you know, had a great lunch at so-and-so. Here's a picture of fawns in the backyard. Anyway, August 3rd, he's going in depth on playing in the club championship with Steve. Mm. Let's see, where are we at here? Played Portland Golf Club in practice round today and had a bunch of up and downs to shoot 82. Today starts the tournament with son-in-law Steve. Hope I can keep it going. Later, right. August 3. Steve and I lost our first match and tied the second. Need to get a couple wins tomorrow. So it was crunch time. He was trying to stay in the tournament on August 4th. Somehow there's no entries from August 4th, but they did play. Then on August 5th, Steve and I won our last match today against the team that won our flight. At least we were competitive. So I think Steve Holwerda was playing with Rich Brooks, who is an old, feisty, cantankerous dude. He's probably like, Steve, this is the club championship here, man. Get up there and hit the shot. We don't have time for this realignment crap. Let's go.
Time for your board meeting.
That's right.
So this would solve the mystery of why he didn't just let someone play through. He had a match going that he had to win. Yeah,
club championship.
And then you'd have to forfeit. Right. So I find it totally justifiable behavior to blow up a 108-year-old conference while on Zoom while playing golf.
There you go.
It's all making sense now.
It makes sense. This is the club championship or something. It's not probably, that's probably some match championship, but all right. Rich Brooks, 82, huh?
Yeah.
Not bad. Short game, right?
Yeah.
Drive for show, putt for dough, man.
Absolutely.
Guys got
Rich Brooks. He is he's 81 years old. He damn near shot his age.
Rich, well, not bad. That's that's incredible. All right. All right. Thank you for that. The updates. We'll continue with our updates. I'll check some details here on this. I want to do this. We do actually have football coming up. I know. Next week at this time, we'll be discussing games. Week zero is coming, right? Isn't that true?
Yep. Week zero is next week. We're playing games in 12 days.
12 days, yes. Yeah. Navy and Notre Dame is pretty interesting. If you want to know how exciting week zero is, the 7 p.m. Eastern time ESPN national game is UMass at New Mexico State. That's how exciting week zero is.
Thrilling.
That's catastrophic.
Really exciting. Oh, really God. Exciting. But I want to say this. I want to run through. We can snake draft it. What game are you most excited to see in week zero and week one?
We'll just start with that.
Because week one's got a bunch of juicy little games, okay? I don't know who wants the first draft pick, but there's one that's kind of an obvious pick. Ross, are you ready to make a pick?
Yeah. Okay,
you can say, we'll go Ross, Pat, then myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the more obvious ones, and it happens during week one out there in Utah that I'm really excited about. It's Florida at Utah, given what happened last year in that game in the swamp, you know, and I'm hoping to like be out there at that game and I hear like how wild it is out at Utah and with Florida coming in and the SEC and all that stuff. I'm excited about that one. That's a Thursday night or two. I think that's Thursday at 8 Eastern, August 31st. So it's week one, but it's the Thursday night opener.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take the Sunday night game from Orlando, LSU at Florida State. I think two playoff contenders. Florida State looks like they could win the ACC possibly this year. You still have to go through Clemson. Clemson's had their number, but this looks like the best Florida State team in many years, and LSU should be really good again too. I think they could win the SEC West, so give me that one. That I think is going to be a really good one. I'm planning to be there.
I mean, no offense, Ross, but that was like taking Ryan Leaf over.
I know.
I threw this on you, and
I know you did.
Yeah,
you did. Damn it. But I forgot about it's on a Sunday. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. I'm like, this Manning guy, I'm not so sure. I mean, what's his family ever done? I'll take Ryan Leaf here. No offense to Ryan. Poor guy. Still the joke, the all-time draft joke. All right. I am going to go week one, North Carolina, South Carolina. First off, winner should get to call themselves Carolina football for the year. I always thought that was a good idea. Old ball coach came up with that one. First up, we get Drake May. How good is Carolina? Drake May, right now, number one draft pick. We've seen that fall apart many times. In fact, he'll be going against a former guy who was supposed to be the number one draft pick, Spencer Rattler, down in South Carolina. I think these are two. I don't think they're sneaky. They're just really good teams, and both have capable of big seasons. I want to see if South Carolina continues to grow. I love that this rivalry is heating up. I love that they're playing in, you know, playing. I'd rather they play at home and home, but whatever, they're in Charlotte. Great way to kick off the season. Really interested in both North Carolina and South Carolina, and I think that's going to be a highly competitive game. We won't snake draft. We'll go back to Ross because I kind of cheated him by throwing it on him, and he made that horrendous pick.
Come on, man. It's not that bad. It's not like I picked, like, you know, Northern Illinois at Boston College, which is also an option for week one, Dan.
Backyard rivals.
All right. I'm going to go. Give me Prime at the Frogs. Colorado at TCU is a noon kickoff on that first week one Saturday. Prime opens the season at the defending runner-up, which obviously lost a lot of players, and so did Colorado. Conveniently, they lost quite a bit of players too. So should be, I'm looking forward to that one. That one's in Fort Worth.
All right, I'm going to take the very last game on Labor Day night, Clemson at Duke. I think this is a trappy kind of game for Clemson. Clemson's got a great defense. I mean, they should be very good, but man, don't sleep on Duke. Duke was 9-4 last year. Mike Elko did a ridiculous job turning them around, and they bring back 18 starters from that team. Riley Leonard, excellent quarterback, a really good bunch of receivers, all back. Defense, they got a couple holes to fill, but it's still eight guys back on that side of the ball. So I say Clemson better walk in correct into mighty Wallace Wade Stadium. We'll see if there's more than 8,000 Duke fans there for that. But I think that's going to be a good game.
I'm going to go with Texas Tech at Wyoming.
Oh, my.
I know. It's a little thin out there. But yeah. I love when anyone's willing to go to Wyoming.
Yeah.
So respect right there for the Red Raiders, because you got to go up to 7,200 feet. You know, this coach is always like, we want to play where we recruit. Well, there are no recruits, okay? you're not doing that. we're down in South Florida. It's going to help us get a kid. It never does. It really probably doesn't, but, you know, one-off game. But I like that. 8-5, Joey McGuire's first season, or 8-6. Maybe they finished 8-5. No, 8-5. Wyoming had a good season last year. They are always tough, and I think it'll be very exciting for Wyoming fans to have a power five or four, whatever the hell we're calling it anymore, team show up. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere. And I like when anyone goes up to Wyoming, to Laramie, to take this on. So it's a real challenge. And I think it'll be a very, very interesting game. I think Wyoming is a contender in the Mountain West, as they always are. They really get tough at home late in the season when it's, you know, 13 below zero. But we still give respect for showing up in September. So I'm going there. All right, one more round.
A lot of buzz, too, about Texas Tech. A lot. Yeah. I believe they've started in the top. They're in the top 25 in USA Today poll. And
yeah, and this is a game you can lose. I mean, this is not an easy. You're not easing in, and you're not going to get any. You're not going to get much credit. You should. But there's a reason no one wants to play Wyoming, because they're always good, and that's a hard place to go. So, see? How about that? Good pick. All right, Ross, last round.
This isn't
a long one. Yeah.
Now, it would be easy for me to pick like a West Virginia at Penn State, but no. I am going with South Alabama at Tulane. kickoff. That's a Saturday night, 8 p.m. from New Orleans. South, these two teams combined for 22 wins last year. If you guys remember, like, South Alabama lost at UCLA. It was like I think it was a fake punt or a punt, a poor snap on a punt late in the game. They could have won the game. They were good. They ended up finishing 10-3. And of course, Tulane won the Cotton Bowl, beat USC at the end of last season to go 12-2. So give me those. Give me the group of five down there.
All right. Yeah, I like that one. I mean, you said, yeah, don't sleep on South Al. I'm going to take Boise State, Washington. Stole it from
that's
you,
fine.
Didn't I?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
all right.
But look, Boise got it together after a bad start last year. They've got a big, talented quarterback, Talen Green. He's played a lot as a freshman, showed some real potential. And then Washington, I think, is a top 10 team. I think Michael Penix is a Heisman Trophy candidate. They've got great wide receivers. You know, they've got everything lined up to have a phenomenal season, possibly win the Pac-12, possibly challenge for the playoff. But you got to beat Boise first, and that ain't going to be easy.
All right. I think I'm going to go with the week zero game, Navy and Notre Dame, which will be played in Dublin. And I'm very interested in seeing what Notre Dame can bring to this season. We saw early struggles with Marcus Freeman in his first year. Obviously, you know, they lost at Ohio State in a game they played about as well as they could. They had injuries. They dropped a game to Marshall. They lost to Stanford, and then they kind of got stuff together. Looked pretty promising. You know, they bring in Sam Hartman from Wake Forest as a transfer, probably their best quarterback in a long time. Navy's always tricky. Games in Dublin, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of a mix in there. I expect Notre Dame to win, but how do they look at doing it? Because Notre Dame, they may not be able to win the national championship or even make a playoff this year, but they have massive games against Ohio State, Clemson, USC. Do they play Florida State too? No, I don't think they do. Notre Dame, Clemson, SC, right?
Yeah.
Plus Duke. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. They play a lot of big games this year. And like how good Notre Dame is, they probably play too many tough games to go 12-0 and make a playoff that Notre Dame pretty much has to as a four-team playoff. But they are going to be a factor in who else makes the playoff, if you get my, like, a lot of roads have to go through Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued in year two, what does this Notre Dame program look like? And that would be my pick. And that's the first game of the season, 2:30 next Saturday. So we'll discuss this more next week on all that. All right. That was good. Pretty good draft, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Navy got a new coach too. You never know. They might come out with some funky wrinkles there.
Razzle dazzle. Yeah. You never know. All right. Finally, quick people's court to end the show here. Again, our endearing gratitude to Message Board Geniuses, at Board Geniuses. It's a Twitter account that scans message boards. It's not a cheeseburger. scans message boards for unbelievable comments from message board posters. I guarantee you the NCAA follows this guy. This one comes from TigerNet, the Clemson site. And I posit this question he puts up there. Does Ohio State use the Goodyear blimp for spying? That's the question. Okay. Does Ohio State use the Goodyear blimp to spy? It's Fast Chad put this out. A buddy of mine saw the Goodyear blimp in Mississippi yesterday, and it got me to thinking. That's always a problem for Fast Chad. Do you think Goodyear sends the blimp all around the Southeast in the fall to spy on ACC and SEC football practices like China did with that balloon earlier this year?
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense.
Is this a satire post? Yeah, probably, but we don't care. Okay, so don't. He's only joking, Fast Chad. I think we've read Fast Chad before. I don't care. It's hysterical. It's well known that everyone from Ohio cheers for Ohio State, regardless of where they actually went to college or if they went to college at all. I checked the Goodyear website, and it appears that all of the big shot execs went to schools all over that state. Obviously, we know, I think it is a real possibility. We also know, obviously, Goodyear is located in Akron, Ohio, and that's where the blimp kind of hangs out when it's not flying around. So, Pat 40. Is Ohio State using its corporate ties to Goodyear and Akron to fly the blimp around the Southeast to spy on practices of potential future Ohio State opponents if they reach the playoff?
Without question. I mean, this guy's uncovered it. He was just smart enough to see what was plainly there.
Well,
you know, for anybody who just really wanted to examine this, I mean, come on. It makes perfect sense. Now, maybe things fall apart a little bit when you look at the fact that Ohio State doesn't tend to beat those teams from the Southeast when they play them. Lost to Georgia last year in the playoff, got run out of the playoff by Alabama in 2020. Et cetera, and so forth. 2014, that was nice. They beat Alabama, went on to win the national championship. But 0-2 lifetime against Georgia, 1-4 lifetime against Clemson, 1-4 lifetime against Alabama. The blimp needs to do better. We need better signs from the blimp.
Blaming the blimp?
Yes.
Blaming the blimp.
The blimp spy work. The blimp's poor camera feed up there. I love the like that Chinese spy balloon that was lurking over the country. It's such a great comparison. Wow. These are the things. I hope the NCAA puts out a statement soon about this. That's all I got to say.
Not a spy balloon.
Not a spy blimp.
They're worried about Harbaugh buying hamburgers when Ohio State's flying a damn blimp. Don't go over College Station because they got that little army down there. That mostly fake army. Yeah, they will. Cannons and stuff. They will take your blimp down, Goodyear. I'm thinking those are expensive and not easy to insure. You can't just get the progressive lady Flo to just bundle that sucker with your house. The blimp. Be careful.
Yeah, I think they do have a cannon at the stadium. When they score, they shoot that thing off.
Yeah, they shoot a cannon. They'll just take the blimp down. I would think it would be more suspicious if it was just circling Athens for like a week. Or it would go up to, right now, go to Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's
really?
Why is that blimp following me? It's like the end of, what is it, Goodfellas, when the guy's driving around, Ray Liotta's driving around that helicopter's following me, man. Does it know whether Harbaugh bought the hamburger or not? Well, we don't know. All right, that's the show. We'll be back later this week. Season's coming. Today we spent more time talking golf and hamburgers and blimps, but you know, that's how this show rolls. Continue to subscribe, leave us nice reviews. Thoughts on everyone out in Maui. That is absolutely tragic.
Terrible.
I did touch base with Maui Tom, Thomas Clark, a dedicated listener. He is safe. Yeah.
Good.
But Lahaina is where the Maui Invitational is held every year. Sort of has a peculiar link to college athletics. And if you've ever been there, that old seaside town is incredible. And I'm worried, you know, people lost a life. Just tragic. Terrible. Just absolutely tragic. Terrifying. So our thoughts are with people in Maui, and hope everyone is safe out there as they can be or back on their feet. But thank you for that, and we will talk to you later.